Not long ago, accounting followed a familiar playbook. But today, that playbook is being rewritten. On this episode of the Privately Speaking podcast, host Erica Whitmore is joined by Brock Bayer, controller at Jump, to discuss how AI is transforming the day-to-day realities of finance, from automated reconciliations to real-time insights. It's a conversation about moving beyond the back office, embracing new tools, and stepping into a more strategic builder mindset in the age of AI.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm super excited about our guest, Brock Bayer.
I'll let him give a little bit of an introduction, but I've gotten to know Brock over the last few months, and he's amazing. And I think everyone listening is going to learn a ton of cool stuff from him. So with that, Brock, can you give us just a real brief introduction outside of KPMG alum, which I'm super, super proud of?
Absolutely. No, it's super great to be here. I appreciate you inviting me on. Like, I'm honestly so pumped for this. My name is Brock Bayer. I'm originally from Utah, born and bred. I started my career in accounting, and I've stayed in accounting the entire time. I actually started with KPMG in the Bay Area in the audit practice. Loved my 3 years there. Like, I owe so much of my success in my career to KPMG. So, like, anytime I have an opportunity to collaborate with KPMG, I absolutely love it. So I started my career there, was there for 3 years. Then I came back to Utah, started with a company called TaxBit. And they were a Series B company when I joined. I was the first accounting hire there, helped build out the process literally from the ground up. It was awesome. And then I came over to Jump, where I am currently the controller. I've been here for just about a year. First accounting hire, doing the same thing, but slightly different because, like, times have changed quite a bit. So
yeah, which is one of the things we're going to talk about. And one of the things I'm so excited to get your perspective on. In fact, I've been introducing you to a few people along the way, but somebody, even today, as I was talking, they were having a problem with their accounting. And I'm like, you know, I've got somebody to introduce you to. So anyways,
I love
having you in my back pocket as somebody that I can say, you know, I think somebody that I know would be willing to talk to you and really hear you out, and then be willing to help you come up with a solution. So anyways, pretty exciting to have you on my Rolodex, if you can say that still. I guess that's a really old...
I think you can still say it. I would still say it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and get started, Brock, and we'll kind of take this wherever we think is best. But I think, you know, maybe where we start, just given, you know, the experience that you had after leaving KPMG and now at, you know, a couple different companies, let's talk about what you just said, which is the world has entirely changed, right? Since the last time you did this. So tell me about that. Like, when you started with Jump, like, how did you approach things differently under this world, especially with AI at your fingertips?
100%. No, it's a great question. So when I was at TaxBit, like, there's an old playbook, and it's the same playbook that everyone's had. It's like, you go get QuickBooks, you scale, you raise your Series A, you raise your Series B. All of a sudden you start getting ready for audits. You get a NetSuite implementation. Like, it's the tried and true method. And, like, honestly, it's a great method because that's what everyone's done for years. And so when I came to Jump, the big difference for us is we are an AI focused company. Like, we are the AI, we are an AI first company. We are the leading AI operating system for financial services professionals. So, like, AI is the buzzword you hear all the time at Jump. And so when we were going through the evaluation, we said, look, let's try one of these new AI native ERPs. And so we did a full system, like we did a whole ERP evaluation across the board. And then ultimately we're like, how can we stay lean? How can we scale? How can we leverage AI in the AI era?
Yeah.
So that we can stay lean, but, like, still be effective and still grow. And so that's kind of how we went about it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that. So you used an AI native ERP. How did that go, first of all? And then how does that change your day-to-day?
Yeah, it's crazy. So we evaluated many, and we ultimately went with a company called Rillet. And the way that we've been using them is they have a very good integration with every single piece of our tech stack. So, like, we bill out of Stripe, we use expense management and spend management through Ramp. And those integrations are just, like, seamless. And, like, your
That's
cash reconciliations, it's huge. So, like, We have thousands of Stripe transactions every single month, automatically matched on the spot. Like 99.9% of transactions are matched automatically. It's insane. So like, I've been able to stay a team of one until about a month or two ago when I hired a senior accountant on my team. And it's like, we've been able to do it. And it's all because of the tools, all because of the integrations. It's wild.
That is super crazy. So tell me, because everybody probably knows what a month-end close is like on a QuickBooks or something like that, right? So what is a month-end close? How does it look different, right? Because now you don't have folks that are doing a lot of the tasks that you normally see in a month-end close. Like, how does that look different? And maybe two pieces to that, Brock. Has it evolved? Meaning like when you first implemented it, what did that look like? And then how has that changed to now?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So the month-end close has changed just in terms of we look at things and we say, where can we use AI to automate away routine, rule-based tasks?
Yep.
And leverage AI so that we can focus more on the judgment, more focus on like the analysis, the strategic thinking, the performance of the business. So for example, like I spent a lot of time in the first few months configuring all of our credit card spend. So it automated all journal entries, it automated all receipt matching through like a Gmail integration, a memo writing for us. Like it's not super fun. It's not like the best thing in the world, but when you do it, like it automates away many of the pieces that typically would have been manual in the past, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But like the other things that we do are like, as of late, I used Claude to create this cash analysis. And essentially what it does is I've created these skills and these tasks. And what happens is I pull the ending balance from my ERP for cash for every single account.
Yep.
I then pull in all of the GL data so I can say, what were all the transactions that occurred? What happened? And then it can give me an analysis of like all the inflows, all the outflows, say what were transfers, what were not. And then it also will just say like, what happened in the period? Like where did our cash go? What happened? And like, it does it on a monthly basis for us. Like I can click a button and it does it for us. It's nuts.
That's, you know, what's so interesting, Brock, and I don't normally like to plug KPMG on this, but you made me think of this. We have a similar tool in the audit that does that for cash confirms. So anyways, just a
really
pretty cool, right? That at least we're keeping pace with the rest of the world.
I'm giving my own KPMG plug here. I've actually been very impressed. Like I've been meaning to message you about this. I've been very impressed with like all the news articles that have been coming out for KPMG, like especially regarding AI, it seems like you all are very focused on it. I love like all the pieces that you guys are doing.
No, leadership is all over it. It's
that's great.
It's really fun to see Tim and Atif's focus on it. It's obviously critical, but to be kind of on the forefront is exciting. But okay, back to Jump. So
yeah,
that sounds awesome, right? And I'm sure those that are listening are like, okay, that is awesome. That would be great. How have things evolved? Like, are you doing even more? Is there even more automated today compared to, you know, say for, how fast is it changing? I guess is my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Like, I mean, if you think back to it, I believe it was January or February that Claude announced Cowork this year. So like, yes. If you think about it in terms of just months, it's been like less than 4 or 5 months since Cowork was announced. And like for those listening that don't really know the difference, like Claude, once you get onto like a pro subscription, essentially like most people are very familiar with chat. Chat is just like the back and forth LLM where you're talking and conversing. It's a conversational tool that allows you to like, it's basically a thought partner for you. And then there's Code, and then there's Cowork. And Code's basically like you can create beautiful user interfaces, and it's really user-friendly, very simple. It's like the first time in your life you can build something, right? Just at your fingertips. It's
remarkable.
And not
remarkable. An actual engineer, right? Or a developer.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And then the piece that's really remarkable that a lot of people are leaning into is co-work, where you can set tasks and you can create systems. And basically what co-work will do is it's like a multitask tool that will essentially pull files, it will pull skills, it will pull whatever you want it to do and perform tasks. And it's essentially like an employee in a sense, like all the different projects you create, like it's remarkable what it can do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the way that it's evolved for us is like, anything that we don't really want to do and it doesn't revolve judgment, we try to create co-work tasks and like tools, systems, routines to automate those away. Like we have skills, we have different things that put it into Jump branding. We have different projects and tasks.
Claude, Brock, is that
this is all Claude.
Claude like sits on, I'm not going to say this right, probably. Does it sit on top of your ERP or like?
So it sits outside of it. And so like you can think of it sitting on top of it because there are different connections and tools that you can use. So like Claude will use connectors and it will also use MCP is what it's called, Model Context Protocol. And if you can create these connections like within Claude to like whatever system you're using, you can type directly into Claude and it can pull data for you. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. So Brock, one of my favorite shows, I can't believe you and I haven't talked about this yet, is Silicon Valley. Like I love it.
That's top five for me. Easy.
My Instagram feed knows I love it. So they
just hit you with one of those on a daily basis.
Yes. Well, it feels like I'm not on it every day because I wouldn't, but yes, it knows. And so I get a lot of those. And even the ones that I've seen 500 times, I laugh so hard at, right?
I'm the same way.
But one of my favorite is when, what is their LLM called?
Pied Piper,
their AI, they have a name for it. It's like,
I don't know.
Anyways, we'll find it and we might need to slice that into this. But anyways, it goes rogue and it deletes their whole system.
My goodness.
So my question for you is, what has not worked? Where did things go wrong? You know what I mean? Like maybe, you know, a bigger way than you were hoping.
So it's actually an awesome question. And believe it or not, like this is a plug for accountants to start building and for accountants to be the ones who are doing this, right? Like fun little plug for myself is like, I have a Substack called New Age Accounting and I talk about this all the time. Like, because one of the things that I just talked about is the auditability of agents. And for me, the thing that's so interesting is like, I think that accountants actually make really good Claude builders. And the reason why is because like, when I go into situations, I think about like, controls. I think about risks. I do risk assessments of these agents, right? Which sounds really geeky, but like that's really what I do.
As an auditor, that's music to my ears, Brock.
No, it has to be, right? Yeah. Because like I don't want Claude to be able to go in through like this MCP connection and be able to have write access. I do not want it to have that. Me personally, I don't. Because like I don't want to accidentally fat finger something and have it go and plug something to my ERP, right? And so like, that's the thing is like, with all of this, there has to be some form of human intervention. There has to be something where like a human's still involved. And so for me personally, that's just something that like I'm always thinking about. There's obviously things that go wrong. There's ways to make your outputs way better. And it's all based on how you prompt the tools. And I could talk about this literally for hours.
Yeah. But
well, those are things that I think about.
Yeah. Well, talk about the prompting because KPMG has several different tools that we use. And so we are in there kind of all the time. Right. And prompting is so important. And anybody who uses AI knows that and knows that the better you get at prompting, the better output you get and the less back and forth that you have. Right. So talk a little bit about that. Like how is your prompting evolved and what have you seen as like best practices?
100%. Yeah. Great question. So when I first started using AI and I started using these chat features, like it was with ChatGPT and I would like treat it like a search engine, like a Google. Cause like our whole lives, that's really what it's been.
That's what we've done.
You write a question and then expect a response. However, LLMs are not search engines. Everyone needs to know that right out of the gates. They are not search engines. And so the best way for you to actually utilize them is to treat them like a conversation. And that is key. So like for me, for example, the thing that I've seen like the best is when you can be very specific and conversational with the LLM. So like, for example, like one, establish a role. So like you say, like, this is your specific role. You are a senior auditor reviewing journal entries for a public company. You establish the role for the LLM. Two, you provide some form of an example. Like if you give them a work paper, like we love the term Sally, right? In audit, like same as last year, give them something to refer to. Then like three, for me, one thing that I always do is I always ask to be asked. And so what I'll say is I will put in a plug of, I need you to help me with this, but before you start working, ask me some clarifying questions that would help give me a better prompt, right? And then from there, the last thing I would say is like, just refine and don't restart. Like just whenever you're in there, you don't need to open up a new chat every single time.
Yeah.
Just refine the chat that you're already in because it builds context and it helps and it gets better and better and better. So those are some pieces that I'd give.
I love that. So in terms of what can go wrong with AI adoption, I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but you know, if I think about the clients that I have right now and just the companies I've been talking to in the market, everybody's interested in this. Like we just did an AI training this week for a public company in Utah, which went really well. Again, it changes almost every day, right? But I think that there is, you could, right, very easily overinvest, right? Like you very easily could grab too many tools and then end up paying more than you really need to. The whole tokens, like, you know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, with what could go wrong? Like, what maybe are some tips that you could give companies that are maybe in the early stages of figuring out how they want to dip their toe in the water but not go too far because maybe they don't have a huge cash runway. So they want to take advantage, right, of making things more efficient and not having to add headcount, but at the same time, not getting that, letting that cost get out of control.
That's an incredible question. So for me, it all depends on the size of the company, right? Like some people have security teams, some people do not. If you have a security team, always involve your security team. Like that's number one. Like, and like, you have to just involve them early on because if you can have early conversations, it's the same thing with like working with your auditors and working with anybody else. Like the sooner you can have dialogue and be able to converse back and forth, like the better you're going to be long-term. So if you have a security team, talk with your security team. If you don't, be very mindful of the data that you are giving to the LLM, payroll data, revenue data, customer data, like anything like that, like just be sensitive of what you're putting into the system. But one of the biggest pieces, like there's two more pieces that I'll give. One, set limits on how much you can spend. There are so many use cases out there where people do not set limits and establish a threshold. And what happens is they'll get to the end of the month and they'll say, well, I guess we token max because it's a couple $100,000 that we just spent.
Yeah.
It's like, but what's the ROI? Right.
Exactly.
Right now, these tools aren't very good at telling you what your ROI is because it's all an internal function. If you spend a lot of money, great. What did you get in return? So that's one thing I would say, set limits so that you can personally establish ROI on how much you're spending and say, is this a good cost benefit? And the very last thing I will say on this, this is another auditor term. I apologize to the listeners. I am an auditor and an accountant through and through. Trust but verify.
Oh my gosh.
I am getting so tired of listening to people say these systems are giving me bad data and like I'm giving it to people. And then they're saying, well, it's wrong. Well,
human in the loop.
Get a human in the loop. If you have like, it's the same thing with you, Erica. Like if you had someone give you a document and you didn't review it and you gave it to a client, like, and it's wrong, they're going to say, Erica, this is wrong. You can't say, well, guess what? An A1 did it. You're responsible.
That's right.
It's the same thing with these things. And like, I think everyone needs to trust but verify. Make sure the data's right. Make sure it looks good before you just ship it. That's a big one.
Well, and make sure it makes sense, right? I mean, 100%. Depending on what it is, like you can do all kinds of things to make sure that it's right. I'm going to pivot just a little bit in going to maybe some, again, those companies that are starting from scratch. So what would you have them prioritize first? Where would you have them start if they're really pretty early stages?
Fantastic question. So the way that you start, this is the dumbest thing. The way you start is just to start. And the way you start somewhere. And so like for me, the way that I started was I sat down and like I thought about all of the things that I do on a monthly basis that I just hate doing.
Hated, right?
I hated doing it.
Yeah, because it was so boring. Yeah.
Yes, I do not like doing reconciliations.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Reconciliations are fantastic. I love the value add to them. I love the assurity that you get when it's right. But I do not like making them. I do not like formatting them. And so I made a tool early on where I was like, okay, one, this thing is like repeatable. Two, it revolves zero judgment. And so those are the things, like think through like what is a routine or a task that is repeatable. It's super easy to explain, or you can write the instructions for it, but it involves zero judgment.
Yes.
And then like literally just then go to the chat function and say, this is the task that I have. How can I utilize AI? These are the, like, even if you're not using Claude, say, how can I utilize the tools that I have access to?
Right.
To be able to automate this. And that is it. Like that is where I would start.
Yeah.
That's where I would start.
That's where you're back to your ROI, biggest bang for your buck. That's where it's going to be, right? Is
100%.
Those repeatable.
It's time.
Yep. It's time. It's repeatable, repeatable transactions, tasks, et cetera. So let's talk about bookkeeper to builder, which I know is you're passionate about that. And so
big one. Yeah.
Kind of more of a like finance leader transformation, right? Like what is that like to you? What can you tell the audience about that?
Yeah, this is like my mantra.
I
talked about earlier with like our new age accounting Substack that we write about, like literally the caption that we have is builders, not bookkeepers. Like we talk about this all the time. And it's amazing because the thing that I've noticed so much is accounting gets a very bad stigma in my opinion. It gets this like really nerdy, like not fun boring. Profession, yeah. Boring. And like, if you meet like most accountants are actually amazing. And like,
agreed.
I would say I love accounting. Yeah, I love it.
Too.
Like when I was studying it, I was like, I love this. This is amazing. I had like a professor who she's retired, Marcy Butterfield. She was fantastic. Took me under my wing, like her wing. And like, she made me love accounting. And I was like, this is fantastic. And so for me, I was like, no, this is a great profession. And what happens is a lot of the time accountants get bogged down by the rule routine, like the recurring transactions, like they get stuck in the weeds and they never get out of the back office. Right. And so they never have a voice. They never are the ones who are standing out and like being like, this is like what happened in the month. They're like, here, let me just ship you the financial statements. This is what happened. I'll give you a flux analysis, et cetera.
Right.
And the shift that I'm seeing is like, one towards like an accounting engineer shift or like a finance engineer shift. And what it is people, this has always been a part of the process, but accountants now are able to be architects in a way where they can automate away so many of their transactions. And now things are being automated and they are just being the reviewers and making sure that the systems are all interconnected, that everything's coming together. And then what they're able to do is they can spend more time getting out of the back office and like adding value across the organization and like building tools, building dashboards, building commission calculators. Like it's awesome. It's like the best time to be in accounting. I am so bullish on the profession. I am so pumped about where it's going. So
There's more companies being created than ever before in our whole,
it's amazing.
Existence. So, which is great because we, I think we still technically have a shortage of accountants, but now we do need a few less, right? Because of all the progression that technology has taken. So it's totally insane, right? Like, we're going to dovetail right into the last topic, Brock, like, because I do think you've got kids in college, right? And I can call them kids because I got kids in college. So that's okay. Even though they're adults, right? That are in accounting, right? And they're like, what does this future look like for accountants, right? Like, and so I do want to hear, like, what's your perspective, right? Because there is less of the ticking and tying, right? That doesn't need to be done by humans anymore. It really, and frankly, it shouldn't be, right? That should be done by, that should all be automated. So what's your view on, you know, talent and the future of accounting?
You know, it's funny. I think there's been a lot of clickbait that has been coming out as of late.
Yes.
Where they will show diagrams about what are the professions being most impacted by AI. And business, finance, accounting are at the top of the list. And I think that early on, people would look at that and they would say, not affected, replaced. And people would switch those words and think that means every single accountant is getting replaced or everyone graduating in accounting just wasted their time and their efforts. I could not disagree more because I actually believe that this is one of the best times to go into the profession. And I think it is one of the funnest times I've ever had in my career, period.
Yeah.
I think if I was graduating today, what I would be doing is I would be leveraging that foundation that you have in accounting more than you ever have. Because we talked about this earlier, the LLM is only as good as the prompt that you give it. So if you don't have any foundation in accounting, guess what? Your prompts are not going to be that good. You are not going to know the process.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. You can't course correct. You can't review. You can't make sure things are good. Getting a degree in accounting, still getting your CPA, still fantastic. I think everyone should still be trying to do that.
Yes.
If you are pursuing this. But then from there, it's like, leverage the tools, like use them. Like there has never been a time in my life that it's been easier to learn because these LLMs, you can learn so much from them. And as long as you can understand the tools, as long as you can understand the foundation, as long as you stay curious and want to learn and are hungry for the change that is inevitable,
that
you are going to thrive.
Yes. Brock, I could not agree more. And, you know, I think you know this. I have two or three, depending on the day, finance majors in the family alone. But it's the same as always, right? Like my dad was an entrepreneur and the most important, that guy never graduated from college, but he has read more books in his lifetime than I don't even know, right? He reads literally 20, 30, 40, 50 books a year, right?
Amazing.
So, but to your point, right? You have to be curious. You have to be willing to continuously learn. And so I think that's the key. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like you have the background, you have the, you know, experience, right? And now you are just going to continuously learn. And I don't think you become a software engineer, right? You don't have to, right?
You don't.
Like,
no, I don't think that is it at all, actually. Like, I think all it is like you leveraging tools to become better at what you're doing, right? Like, all it is like, for me personally, the people who I've been seeing thrive in the last 5 months are the people who are saying, look, I have no idea about AI. Like, I literally don't know what's going on.
Yep.
And like, I've been in that shoe, like that seat, like I've literally been in the same exact person.
Yeah.
5 months ago, AI to me was like OpenAI chatting into the system and just being like,
yeah,
hey, what, like put a cool hat on me in this picture. Yeah. Oh, it made like a cool rendering, right? Like but now it's like, no, I literally did not know what my potential was in this current role until I just started saying, I am going to go all in on this. I'm going to try, even if I have no idea what is happening. Like, look, I'm just going to stay curious. I'm going to stay hungry. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And those are the people who are thriving. Stay curious, keep learning, like be humble that like you don't know everything and accept that you don't know everything and like just try.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Brock, on that note, I think that's where we end this, right? Stay curious, stay involved, right? And keep learning. And yeah, I think that's awesome. Brock, I really appreciate you spending time with us today. And like I've told you, this is one of my favorite things I get to do with KPMG. So honored to have you on the podcast today. And we'll have you back, because I bet you in 3 to 6 months, we'll have all kinds of new stuff to talk about.
I would love that. I would love nothing more. The pleasure's all mine. Again, like, I'm super bullish on the profession, very humbled that like I've been invited to be on this, and like very grateful for you, Erica, and like rooting for the success of KPMG and everything you guys are doing. So wow. It's awesome.
Same for Jump.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brock.